For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Saturday morning service of April the 1st, 1995, of the Spring Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Kyle Palmer is the speaker for the morning.
Well, it is good to be here. It's good to be back. The Lord allowed me to stay in one place now for some time. I believe I've been there 9 months. The Lord's letting me pastor a church. It's the longest I've stayed in one place. Most of my ministering stuff has been going around and things. And it's different when you have to stay in one place for a long time, you know. You get down in the nitty-gritty of people's lives, and you can't just run off. You go and preach somewhere, and you go, boy, that's terrible. Boy, I'm glad I don't have to stay there all the time, you know. But well, you know, we need to be honest. I mean, we think these things, and we feel these things. But I have a lot more compassion on pastors now than I used to. I used to sit back and look at these guys and say, man, why are they like this? Why don't they just the head and tell them to get right, you know. Well, sometimes you do, and they scream sometimes. You know, I had all these theories on how to pastor and all this, and had a lot of education, and but I found that all the education and all the knowledge and all that doesn't mean a hill of beans. Sometimes the only way that the Lord's going to do something is if we pray and faithfully teach His Word. And I've been teaching the Word there for the time that I've been there, and I began to get kind of discouraged and disheartened because I'm kind of going, what's wrong with these people? This is what God is saying. Why aren't they doing something about it? Little by little, actually in the past month and a half, I've seen the Holy Spirit begin to break into people's lives, and it has been very rewarding to see the Lord begin to do some healing in people's lives. Several of the ladies had been sexually abused when they were younger. Others had gone through different situations and traumatic things as they were growing up. And the Holy Spirit's gone back and begun healing in their lives. And it's like, wow, now this is nice. You know, I'd like to see them dancing in the aisles or something. But to see the Lord going in and pulling out roots that had been there for years and years and affecting their lives, that they didn't know what it was. They didn't know what was going on. But the Lord did. And He's been very gracious to them and bringing healing to them. Today I want to share, I don't have a formal title for it, maybe an anti-wing clipping message. You know, you ever try to begin to soar out in the presence of the Lord and something just seems to clip your wings? You can soar for a little while and all of a sudden you go, boom, say, what happened to me? Some people come and they get deliverance and then they come back again. You know, God wants us to be free and to stay free, doesn't He? We're not to be a revolving door for the powers of darkness to come through our lives. But we're to be a one-way door, all of them out and not coming back in. Let's turn to our favorite funeral scripture, 23rd Psalm. Yeah, as we're turning, you know, that seems to be a favorite scripture that's used in funerals, isn't it? 23rd Psalm, very comforting. So I began studying it. It talks about the valley of the shadow of death. That doesn't seem to be physical death. I'll get to that in a moment here. But I'll take for granted that the majority of us that are here want to be more like our Lord Jesus. Is that true? John the Baptist said, I must decrease. And who increases? Jesus. Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives within me. And the life that I now live in this mortal body, I live through the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He went to an awful expense to give Himself for us, didn't He? And it's an expense for us sometimes to lay aside those things that we've taken pleasure in outside of the Lord. Okay, 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, They comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This valley that he walked through, I'd always read it to be, this was death. When the Lord takes us across the threshold of death, and rightly it can apply to there because the Lord is going to be there with us. But it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Why is there the necessity for the correction and the guiding of the rod and the staff to the portal of death? Why would he be preparing a table for us in the presence of our enemies at death? Think about that for just a moment. I believe that this valley of the shadow of death here is an experience that the psalmist walked through at times and that we may seem to walk through in our spiritual life. And there's something that God wants to accomplish in our hearts and lives and when we walk through a dark situation in a dark place where it seems that, where did you go? What happened? You know, if we're honest with ourselves, many of us have had experiences where we have wondered where in the world God went. You know, he fills heaven and earth. David said, where can I flee from my presence? Even if I make my bed in Sheol, he's there. But there's times when things happen, we go, where is he? Right? He hasn't moved. He's still there. But our perception of him changes at times. Let's look at Hebrews 11. Everybody loves Hebrews 11. Oh, it's the great faith chapter. By faith they did this. By faith they did that. And boy, we can get to shouting on that. Right? We love these. Quench the fire. Close the mouths of the lions. They took cities. They took kingdoms. Did all these great things by faith. And that's what we're to do. True? Absolutely. But let's read what somebody else's experience of faith was here. Hebrews 11:32, I'll start there. And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets. Did I tell you where I was? 11:33 now. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. Ooh, by faith. Ooh, that doesn't sound like faith, does it? But let's read here. I'm not saying we all need to go out and get tortured. That's not what I'm saying. I just want us to look at a little part here. I lost my place. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, did not receive the promise. God having promised some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Think about that. There, you know, Christianity is a rose garden. But have you all ever had a rose garden? There are some beautiful mountaintop experiences, and there's some glorious times receiving deliverance from things, but there's other times that they're not so pleasant. And we need to see what God wants to teach us during those not so pleasant times. It was not so pleasant when Jesus was mocked. Paul was beaten numerous times, and yet he rejoiced. He saw something beyond the temporal comforts that we normally have. Chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, they're written right here, and they're looking over heaven's portals right now. They're watching. They see. So great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run the race with patience that is set before us. The author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, we're to be seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenlies, far above all principalities and powers. But it just doesn't come by a snap of the finger. It doesn't come by just confessing it into being. It comes by a work of God in the deep part of the soul of our life. Looking unto Jesus, author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. What is the cross? Sickness? No. Sin? No. Most people think their sickness or something is the cross that they've got to bear. Or their mother-in-law. Okay. Y'all can smile then. Some demonic spirit that's tormenting them and coming and plaguing their life. Is that a cross that we have to bear? No. What is that cross? The death to our self. Our self-will. The original proverbial, the apple that was eaten. It's a true account. But I think the main thing was not that they ate the apple, but what transpired before they ate the forbidden fruit. They chose to set their will above what God's will. And when Satan said, you'll be like gods, knowing good and evil, that's exactly what happened. They began to say, this is good and this is evil. That's what they did. And then they said, okay, this will be good. God said it's bad, but we say it'll be good. And we agree with what the enemy does. And our self-will and our self-choices, independent of God's will and God's word, is the root of our problems. He is the one that's to be Lord and Master. Not ourselves sitting out here making a bunch of independent decisions and asking God to come down here and bless us. Not us saying, Lord, come go with me today. We should say, Lord, let me go with you today. It's true. That's the cross. That's the cross that is in our life, where it comes down to the root of us, the depth of our inner selves, where we choose His will above any of our desires. That is the cross. Not a sickness, not a mother-in-law, not some affliction, but us choosing His will above our will. Let's look at a fate. Well, wait a minute. For the joy that was set before Him. What was set before Him? What was in front of Him? He saw our redemption, but He also get to go back and be with His Father, didn't He? We have to keep things in perspective when we go through challenging times and seeming dark situations and realize that there is a joy ahead of us. Being able to fellowship with our Father and being able to be free from the contaminants of the world and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present evil age, having escaped the corruptions that are in this world through lust. God wants us free. He paid a great price. But there's a cost in our part. It's a cost of discipleship, of turning away what was once pleasant and comfortable to us. James says, count it all joy when you encounter these various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith produces patience or endurance, and let this patience and endurance have its perfect work, complete work, so that you may be perfect, complete, and entire, lacking nothing. I've heard many people say, oh no, I'm not going to pray for patience, because if I pray for patience, all these bad and terrible things will begin to happen to me. I'm not going to pray for patience. I don't buy that. Because Scripture says every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow due to turning. If we pray for patience, I believe God gives us the gift of patience. And then we have who? Oh, what's His name? You know, Him. The one that we tread upon. He comes to try to lie to us and say you don't have it. And try to bring circumstances and situations about to show you that you don't have it. But He is defeated. We need to recognize that He has been defeated. He was defeated by the finished works of Calvary. And many of the things that we wrestle with in our own personal lives, if we would reckon what God says in His Word is true and use that as the base point of our judging reality in our life, we could walk in more freedom than we have. We've denied God's Word in many ways because we don't hold it as truth. We say, because this situation is happening, therefore that's what's real. God says, I have delivered you from the powers of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of my dear Son. That is truth. Amen. Let's look at Philippians 3, verse 7. I'm going to read a few verses here before I get down to what I want. Philippians 3, 7. Is this speaking to y'all yet this morning? Are you hearing me? But those things which were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Paul has just given an account of all the things that he had accomplished in his life, who he was, what he had done, and all the great accomplishments of what had made him up. his identity according to the natural world. And he says, but these things which were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. We're not talking about head knowledge. We're not talking about a bunch of books and memorizing the scriptures. But we're talking about face-to-face encounter with the living Lord and knowing Him at a heart level. Not just being able to quote what He said, but knowing Him as a person. See, the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I believe that when we begin to see the person of Christ, begin to know His heart for us, and to know Him, everything else, strangely dim, in the light of His glory and grace. Amen. And to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, not striving to try to live all these things, not trying to be all these things, not having my own righteousness, but getting so wrapped up in Jesus and so deeply in fellowship with Him that His life is just a natural outflow of mine. It's not me trying to be a Christian, trying to live a Christian life, but being a Christian by virtue of relationship. That's when His yoke is easy and His burden is light. You know, the law comes and tells us what love should naturally do. But it's a burden to try to follow God by just adhering to the law. We end up in condemnation. But when we end up knowing Him, the law is a tutor, a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Many of us will go through legalistic approaches to it, knowing that we have to live this right, so we begin living right, reforming, putting these things away, repenting. But the goal is for us to what? See Him. To see Him. That's where it's all at, folks. Not in all the trinkets that the world has to offer us. No glitter of gold and diamonds is nothing compared to the glitter in His eyes when He looks at us. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Let me make a comment here with faith. Faith, you know, I don't know if everybody has, but I've been through some of the camps of the faith teachings and the different this. I've heard lots of things about faith. But faith to me is the ability that God gives me to walk into His realm and to take what He gives to me, take it to heart, and walk back out here still possessing it. By His stripes, we were healed. We can scream and holler at devils all day and claim healing all day. But faith comes when we walk into His realm and say, thank you, Father. And we take His healing and say, thank you, I am healed. Deliverance. We walk in. He has delivered us. And we walk in and take what He has freely given us. Amen? These things are real realities. Just like how did Jesus walk on the water? Faith. He had a higher principles of law. He had a higher realm that He was able to step into and live in. Simple thing for us is the law of aerodynamics. What happens if I take this right here and let go of it? It falls. But if I was to make a little paper airplane out of this and cast it across the room, what would happen? The law of aerodynamics would keep it suspended for a while. The law of aerodynamics is a law that is above the law of gravity. The law of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. And we don't have to be like that little airplane that just takes a little push and then it finally falls. But Jesus said He comes to give us life. Life abundantly. Just like Jesus walked on the water, He was in the realm of the Father. He had a higher dimension and a higher law, superseded the law of gravity. And the law of life supersedes the law of death that we wrestle with. Hallelujah. It's above the law of sin. We wrestle with sin. Let's lay a hold of the law of life and reckon that stuff dead. We'll be tempted in all points, but we can overcome because He's given us the law of life in Him. That I may know Him, verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Well, that's good, isn't it? power and authority over all the power of that enemy. Nothing shall by any means harm us. Casting out devils, raising the sick, raising the dead, healing the sick. That's power, isn't it? But what's the rest of it say? And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. You know, many of us want the joys and the of things without the price. Right? Let's look at something here, and let's look at Paul and Silas in Acts 16:16. I didn't put a lot of tabs in my Bible, so I had to find them just like you do today. But I did put this little thing here to cheat to find my place to go back to Philippians. So if you want to hold that spot, it's too late now, huh? Acts 16:16. And it came to pass, as they went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Power. But what happened to him? And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them under the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Now they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid upon them many stripes, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who had thus received them into his charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. They had the power of the resurrection. And guess what they begin to experience too? The fellowship of his sufferings.
Yeah.
Do we like that? No. But there's something deep that can be accomplished in our life at that time. When you put on some precious metal, gold or silver, in a crucible and bring it up to a boiling heat, what's going to happen to any impurity that's in there? It's going to come to the top.
Yeah.
And we go through sufferings at times and difficulties, not because this necessarily of our own sin. We can suffer because of our own sin, but that's not suffering for righteousness' sake. But we can suffer for righteousness' sake. And when that metal, that gold, is at a boiling point, sitting there in a liquid form, the Lord looks down there and he begins to scrape off the dross. And he wants to be able to look into that gold or that silver and see his reflection. Challenges and difficulties bring to the surface in our life things that need to be brought to the cross.
Amen.
And if we will use those things as a situation to propel us into the presence of God, they can be very beneficial. The fellowship of his sufferings. Let me keep on reading here. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. They began to pray. Do we complain or pray? Do we murmur or pray? Do we fret or do we pray? And as we begin to pray, we begin to see things from God's perspective instead of our own. And then we can begin to sing praises. In all things, we're to give thanks. Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. We want to be sons of God. We want to set creation free. God wants to set us free from all the entanglements that we have been in bondage to. You know the rest of the story. But it also, let's go back to Philippians 3. Fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable even unto his death. Started off with a good scripture there. 23rd Psalm, a nice funeral psalm. Well, maybe there's a death that needs to come to some areas of our life. Let's continue to look at this. Returning to Philippians 3, what is it, 10? Make a comment here about the fellowship of his sufferings. You know, Jesus suffered in ways, didn't he? We want to experience and fellowship with him in the power and the deliverance and all the fun things, right? But just as in marriage, for better or for worse, For healing, for health? I don't believe in sickness. I don't think we need to have to put up with that. But there's challenges and times it comes. And there's something in a relationship that flourishes through difficult times. It doesn't flourish as well on the mountaintops. The lily of the valley grows in the valley, not on the top of the mountain. And there's fragrances of Christ's nature that we can begin to smell and begin to partake of into our life when we go through these difficult times. I'm not talking about sin, sickness, demons. That's not what I'm talking about, difficulties. Things can be dealt with by the Word of God. Power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering being made conformable to death. Let's look at something that happened to Jesus. Hold your place there, Luke 22:39. This is not a shouting message yet. I've learned from my own personal experience and some of the things that I've seen that our shouting and our rejoicing will be temporary unless God has worked a depth of work in our life. We cannot sustain joy and pleasure in the presence of the Lord for very long unless we have died to ourselves. There's fun that we can have music. Phil could get up here and Brother, get on the, what do you call this thing over here? Organ. Boy, we could get everybody dancing and clapping. You can do that with music. True. Get you all excited, telling you about some of the promises of God. You all be happy. And you, most of you have experienced that very thing. And then you go out, and then the next day, or a week later, boom, you're right back to where you were. What happened? Where did it go? True. Most of us been there. I've been there more times than I've wanted. And God began to give me some things to get out. It's not how high you jump or how loud you shout, but it's how you walk when you hit the ground. Amen? Luke 22:39. And he came out and went, and as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. Hopefully we're following him. And when he was at the place, he said unto him, pray that you enter not into temptation. Unfortunately, many people wait till after they've sinned to even pray. But he says, pray that you don't even enter into the temptation. And when he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There is going to be times in our life, in our struggle with our desires and our will, where it's going to be very difficult. Jesus was wrestling here. Lord, if there's any other way here, let's do it another way if there is. But he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Could Jesus have failed here? Think about that. I believe that temptation, in order for it to be a true temptation, the person that's being tempted has to have the possibility that he could fail. Otherwise, all that Jesus went through was just a mock. Think about it. Most people say, well, he was Jesus. He was the Son of God. Yes, he was. But if we've been born again, what are we? And we need to recognize that. Jesus was tempted like we are. And he had the same access to what we have access to. Let me say it the other way. We have access to the same things that he did. We can't just sit around, well, I'm human. There's nothing human about sin. That is inhuman. There's nothing human about killing babies. That is inhumane. Adam and Eve were created as perfect humans. And they were inhuman when they sinned. That was the inhuman thing to do. So don't blame it on your humanity. Don't blame it on your physical body. We're to have these bodies in subjection to the Spirit of God in our lives. Don't blame it on the devil, because God's given you a will to choose. And he has given you the power and authority over those things. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. The Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, in great agony, so much that an angel comes from heaven to strengthen him. Now, don't tell me that all these things that we wrestle with in life are going to be easy, that we can just confess a scripture and it's done. The Son of God himself had an angel come to strengthen him. There's going to be times that the wrestle over obeying God is going to be at a point of life and death in our spiritual walk. God sent his Holy Spirit not only to be with us, but to be in us. And he will strengthen us in the points that we need strength to obey the Lord. But we have to wrestle at times, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But we wrestle against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places that are trying to get us to submit to the will of the enemy of our soul. But the Holy Spirit comes to lead us to submit to the will of our Creator and our Lord. True? And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat were, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And he rose up from prayer. He's come to his disciples, and he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. There's many times in our life where all the situations of life will press in, and it tries to put us to sleep on the inside. It tries to just silence our voice of conscience in our mind. Just kind of slowly lull us to sleep. But we need to stay awake and be sober and be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion looking for somebody's lunch to eat. And if you go to sleep, it's not a good place to be in, is it? Conformed unto his death. I will make a comment here. Y'all ever heard that expression, folks say, well, they're wrestling with all these sins and stuff. They said, well, I'm just like Paul. I'm dying daily to these sins. I die daily. Was Paul talking about dying to sin when he said, I die daily? Actually, in that particular context that Paul was talking, he just talked about all these people that's trying to kill him, all these Judaizers after him everywhere he goes. It'd be like us going out on the, or Jack been out there on Normandy and said, man, I died 1,000 deaths out there. Was he dying to sin when he said, I died 1,000 deaths? He said, man, I came through so many near misses and so many people trying to kill me. He says, it's like I die daily. Paul wasn't talking about dying to sin there. Let's don't pull that one out of context. We need to lay these things aside and quit using excuses like the fellow in Romans 7. Oh, I don't do the things I should, and I do the things I don't want to do. That's a man that hadn't been set free from the power of sin. Romans 8 gives you a clear picture of what a Christian to be. The law of life is in Christ Jesus set me free from the law of sin and death. For if we walk after the flesh, we'll die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you will live. Let's don't give excuses. But let's look at it and deal with it. Jesus was what? Whipped? Any of us ever been whipped verbally, physically? Well, what do we do? How do we respond? What do you mean doing that to me? Who do you think you are? Is that what we do? I'll show them. I'll make them think twice about doing that to me again. Really? We've just been given an opportunity to show the hope that is within us with meekness, haven't we? When that person pulls into what we pull into Wally World, Walmart, somebody else pulls in, slams the door open, knocks the side of our car and says, what do you mean pulling up beside me and doing this to my car? And they're the one that just hit our car. We've just been called to give an account of the hope that's within us. What's going to come out? Huh? What's going to come out? Somebody rattles your cup, you rattle it a little bit. You can handle that, but you start rattling it a bit, what happens? Well, whatever's in you, it's going to come out. So if you find these things coming out at inopportune times, guess where they are? For out of the abundance of the... Oh. My. Let's put on our tie and act so religious, huh? Go to church and, oh, bless you, Lord. That dirty, rotten, blankety blank. Who are we playing games with? Ourselves. God knows it. The rest of the folks look at you and say, yeah, I know about old sister so-and-so. You better watch her. When she starts acting like that, you better watch out. She's fixing to blow a fuse. She'll give you a piece of her mind. She hasn't got any to spare. All right. Mocked. There's a death process we go through when we're mocked. Do we mock back?
Conform to his death?
He was disrobed. What happens when our dignity, our reputation is slandered? These things are stripped from us. And we're made to look like a fool, an absolute idiot. We've just been disrobed. There's a death that works in us. That pride wants to rise up.
How dare them do this to me? Don't they know who I am?
Yeah, they see it pretty clear. Crown of thorns. We have an enemy that's going to try to put thoughts in our mind, and there's times that those thoughts are just as painfully piercing as the thorns were upon Jesus' brow. But he took that crown of thorns upon his brow so that we could have peace in our mind. We get rid of all them things. We cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We bring into captivity every thought of the obedience of Christ Jesus. What happens when that mind wants to pull over there and think about certain things? Think about what this person did to you. Think about what this person said. Think about that what you saw the other day. And your mind wants to pull over there and, oh yeah, think about that and relish in that. There's a death that needs to be worked there. What about when he was hanging on the cross? Matthew 27:46. I'll just look at that one real quick. 45 we'll start with. Matthew 27:45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about that ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? If we be painfully honest, there's times when we have cried out and wanted to verbalize that to God. When we've gone through situations, something of catastrophic significance has happened. Where are you, God? Where were you when this happened? Kind of like the folks with around Lazarus' tomb. Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And these times that things happen that we want to say, where are you, God? And it's like a deep darkness has come around on a situation. Some people call it the dark night of the soul. Some people call it all kinds of things. But has God left us? He said he would never leave us or forsake us. But is it possible that our perception and our relationship with God many times is based on our ability to see what he's done or see what he's doing or on what he has done for us instead of on who he is? See, the basis of our serving him is not because of the blessings. That's a byproduct. It's not because of all the good things in the revelation he gives us and all the other things, but it's because of who he is. True? And if we approach him any other way, we end up being very selfish in our seeking God. We seek him for ourselves. Scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. That scripture is talking about love in the context that it's in. Principles apply to finances and to many other things. But God so loved that he gave. And our service to him should not be based out of what he gives, but because of who he is. We seek him so that we can have to give from him. We don't seek him just to get. We seek him so that we have to give. To the disciples coming to the man that had said at the gate, beautiful, said, such as I have, give I thee. James, it talks about you ask and receive not because you ask amiss so that you may consume it on your own personal desires and your own things that you want. But the things and the seeking that we should have for God is because of who he is and so that we can have to give, so that we can manifest his character to others so that they may be snatched out of the darkness that they're in. The times of darkness, we need to use those to be sure that we are seeking him for him. I have a friend of mine, he's a pastor in Dallas area. His name is Olin Griffith. Pastors a large church over there. His friend is not the best word because he's not a real close acquaintance of mine, but he's an acquaintance of mine. And he was expressing one time a situation that he walked through. He says, for a year, I walked through a dark situation. I couldn't hear God speaking to me. He says, I would get up in the pulpit and the anointing of God would come on my life. People were saved, delivered, healed. All these things were happening. But when I would step out, it's like it lifted. And he says it was a really difficult time in my life. I didn't know what was happening. And he says, but I came to about the end of a year period, and then I began to understand what God had done. He says, my relationship with God had totally changed during this time. Because before, I'd related with him because of all the miracles that he'd done, what he'd done, the revelation he'd give me out of his word, all these peripheral things that he does. But he says, by the end of that time, I knew God for God, independent of anything that he did or would promise to do. But I knew him for him. And there is a stability that we can develop in our life through these difficult and dark times that will come through no other way. We don't have to stay there forever. The darkness was from 6 in the morning till about 9. It's about 3 hours there that Jesus went through that. We don't have to go through it all our life. Some people seem to walk under a cloud of darkness all the time. But there are times where it seems that his conscious presence has been withdrawn. Let's seek him for him during that time. Not for what he is going to do, but for him. Amen? Reminds me of an allegory that I wish I could find this. I read it about 10 years ago. It was about a young king who had wooed this damsel. What do you call a young, whatever she was, a damsel, young maid, wooed her to himself, and she had fallen in love with him, and he had fallen in love with her, and they went out one day to go out of the town for a little walk. But this day he got on his horse, and she was walking. Seems like a strange thing. And so he's on his horse and he's riding, and they begin to ride out of the city, and she's walking along, keeping up with him. Pretty soon they get out of the city, out past everything that was familiar, and they come out to a desert spot. And he keeps on going on the horse, and he begins to gallop away. And she's left out there, and she's trying to chase him. And where are you going? What are you doing? Where are you going? And the end of it went on, and he ran out of sight. And she was too weak and too tired to go back to everything that was familiar. Her love for the young king had drawn her out there. And she's out there in a seeming desolate wilderness, dying of thirst. And the end up, she expires out there. And that was what the king was waiting for. And he came riding back swiftly after she had expired and brought her back to life. And then took her unto himself. I begin in the little allegory. What it spoke to me was, is there's times that God will woo us by his love and draw us out. And draw us out into a place where we've gone out so far with him that he's the only thing that's going to rescue us. And it's like, Lord, I'm here, but where did you go? And we have a choice at that point. Are we going to try to make it back to what is all familiar? Or are we going to let that death work in our self-life? Where we'd say like Job, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. That our entire being is clinging to him in love and dependence, irrespective of the outcome of the situation. Scripture says we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. That's more than just a little thing that we quote. That's to be a heart experience that we're to have. Then we can properly love our neighbor as ourselves. Death to self. It's no more I, but Christ that lives within me. And the life that I now live in this temple, I live because I've been living in here with him. Amen? Let's look at Micah 7:7. The scripture ministered to me very much one time. Uh-oh, it's one of the small books. Hopefully I can find it. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's an awkward experience when you try to find one of these little books and you're sitting there going, and you're the last one trying to find the page and everybody else is quiet, and it's a little dying process you go through. Oh, no. I hope I don't have to turn to the table of contents. I know where this book is. I've got it all marked up, and yet. It's a little thing. Micah 7:7. But that's true. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You want to try to get to it before your neighbor sees that you haven't been able to find it, and they have. Right? It's that little thing that works on the inside of you. But we get an opportunity to what? Let that thing die. Who are we seeking the approval of anyhow? We're to seek it from the Lord. In one place he says, if I was still trying to have the approval or win the favor of man, I would not be the servant of Christ. Micah 7 and 7. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. He says, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I've sinned against him. You know, when we go through these times of darkness, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll begin to see why we got there and what God is after when we get there. Let's don't run from these times. Let's don't run from the uncomfortable experiences and encounters with God. Right? We want to at times. There's things in my inner being when I've encountered the Lord that tremble, thinking, oh no. Oh no. This means that's got to die. But it's not that bad. It's not an outward thing. It's not some terrible sin or nothing. But God desires truth in the inward parts, in the depths of our being, so that when we come to Wally World and somebody slams their car door against us, we're able to respond with grace. I will bear the indignation of the Lord, for I have sinned against him, until he pleads my cause and executes judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is my enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her, which said unto me, so where's the Lord your God? Where's God in this situation? You trust God and all this stuff has happened to you? I thought you were a Christian. Don't you believe God? We hear it from the voice of the enemy, and we hear it through people's voices. Your son died. Don't you believe God? Well, if you believed God, he wouldn't have died. I mean, think the prophets went through in the Old Testament. I mean, prophesying of things hundreds of years ahead of their time. Oh, yeah, well, Isaiah, he's a false prophet. See these things he prophesied? He died and they still hadn't happened. And all them people died and still hadn't happened. And all their kids and grandkids and great-grandkids died and they hadn't happened. Oh, he was a nut, wasn't he? Okay. Then she that is my enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, where is the Lord your God? My eyes shall behold her. Now she shall be trodden down as mire in the streets, and will tread on these serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Flip on over to the last part of that chapter 18, verse 18. It says, who is a God like unto thee? Who's a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us, and he will subdue our iniquities, and I will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And I will perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which I have sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Philippians 3. Verse 12. Start back at 10, the last part. Being made conformable unto his death. We want to experience the resurrection life. We want to experience the joy. We have to experience the death also. This is not a message of condemnation. We're talking reality. God wants us free. And free indeed. Not just a band-aid. Not just a surface fix. He wants us to stay free from the powers of darkness that have plagued us. Not just get them free for a week or two. And then just out of compulsion give into that thing again and again and again. If by any means I may obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. Paul at this point is saying, I ain't got it all yet, boys. I ain't got it all yet. One place he says, but I've finished the course. He says, I've got it. I've got it. You know where I'm talking about? I've run the race. I've finished the course. And now it's laid up for me the good reward. He had it. He says, I'm ready to be offered up. I'm there. But right here he's saying, not as though I'd already attained, you were already perfect, but I follow after. This follow. You ever had a puppy dog? I mean, just right there on your heels. I mean, just right there on the heels of Jesus. I mean, we're not falling afar off like Peter did. And then he out there warming his hands by the fire of the enemy. Followed close. But I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. That I may really grab a hold of and know and understand that which he grabbed a hold of me for. He doesn't want us walking around in darkness. Brethren, I do not count myself to have figured it all out yet. I haven't apprehended it all yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press. You ever had an old manual car that wouldn't crank and you had to get out behind it and push it? And you weren't pushing downhill but a slight uphill and you're trying to push that car off to start it? I mean, you have to bury everything you got into that car and push, don't you? He says, I press onward, forward, that mark, that prize, that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I put my back into it. I put my legs into it. I put everything I've got. And what is that prize? To be like him. To be in his image and his likeness. David said, I will be satisfied when I awaken in your likeness. That's where our satisfaction should be. Not because we can pray the prayers of faith, not because we can do all these other things and see God do all these other things, but because we've awakened in his likeness and people can see Jesus in us. Because we're what the world is waiting for. Who's going to set them free if we don't? Who's going to show them Jesus if we don't? Let as many as of us as be perfect be thus minded. And if any other thing... Wait a minute, let me read again. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God will reveal even this to you. If you ain't figured it all out, he'll reveal it to you. Said the Holy Spirit teach you of all things and lead you into all truth. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. And let us mind the same thing. Let's seek after him. I want to share one thing off the... I just made one note here if we have time. So I was hoping I would have time to share this. I call it experiencing our experiences. How many of you have had encounters with the presence of the Lord? They were good, weren't they? But that's the problem many times. We relegate the... Let me say it another way. Many times we allow the experiences that we have with God to be seen the way that we view other things in time. That happened to me years ago. Yes, the Lord came and revealed himself to me years ago, and I saw his face there. Yes, I had an experience X number of years ago, and the Lord took me into the heavens. I had an experience X number of years ago, and this happened. And we think about, and we relish, and we think about what happened in the past, right? But that's not God. God is the God of eternity. And he's a God above time. And I think that we miss one of the things that God would have us to have when we have experiences. And that is to keep them. That experience, that miraculous thing that happened of you seeing his face that time, don't put it in the past. But allow it to remain in the present. Because that came from eternity. That came from the realm that we're supposed to be entering into now. Most people think that they have to wait till they die to experience heaven. I'll tell you that we are supposed to experience heaven before we get there.
Amen.
We should not be a stranger to that country.
but it should be a place that we frequent often. And the experiences that God gives us, the little peepholes into glory, let's don't leave them in time, but let's take them into the realm of eternal life that we're to be entering into and keep them as a present experience. When you have an experience with the presence of the Lord, don't stand there and experience it as a passive participant. Don't just sit there and say, oh, wow, this is really great, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It is great and it is good. But be an active participant in what God is doing and begin to, by your spirit, reach out and experience what is going on. What does it feel like? What does it taste like? What does His presence smell like? How is your heart moved when His presence is there? How is your mind activated when His presence is there? What is it like? Think about this. I don't think it's sin. Let's take an imaginary trip. No, let's don't do it imaginary. Let's do it real. Allow your mind to go back to some place that you went that was a very enjoyable experience. I can think back for myself a time that I went up in the Sierra Baldy Mountains, backpacking up with a minister of mine, and we were up miles and miles away from anything. And it was just beautiful up in the mountains, so peaceful. It was just a nice experience. And in my mind, I can go back and just the peace that was there. And I'm sure y'all can think of places that you've been or things that you've done, right? Nice experiences. That was in time. That was a past experience. That was something that happened in the past in the natural temporal world. And it can still bring up thoughts of pleasure and peace and joy. But the things of the Spirit of God are not like that. They are things from the realm of eternity. And for too long, I think, we have allowed them to be thought of as things of time. When the Lord's presence appeared to you and ministered to your heart, it was not something that happened in the far distant past, but it's for right now.
Yes, amen.
And if we begin to experience those experiences and let ourselves be engulfed in that presence, we can keep that presence. Most people have up and down and up and down. They're in the presence, they're out of the presence. They're in the presence, they're out of the presence. They're in the presence in church and worship, and then they go back out here to their job, and then they have to get back to the nitty-gritty here and now. Nope. We need to learn to take that with us wherever we go and learn to live in that all the time. Those peepholes into glory that God gives us are for us to keep and for us to continue to experience and to enter in to the presence of the Lord on a continual basis. And as we do, we'll begin to live more and more in the dimension of God's Spirit. And we can begin to live there. And that's Phil. Phil, if you would. We're just going to worship the Lord just a few moments here as we're closing and preparing for lunch. And I want us to set our heart just to worship the Lord. Amen? That's where my heart is most. I love worship. I love worshiping the Lord. We have lunch ahead of us, but let's shut the rest of our mind down for a minute and set it on Jesus Christ. Set it on Him. And let's express our heart and our love to Him, and I believe His presence wants to come and minister to your spirit. And I want you to experience His presence and feel it out. Take Him with you. Take you with Him. You get entwined up with Him, so it's no longer you're coming and going from His presence, but you live and move and have your being in Him. Amen?
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.